Blog Talk Radio.
To the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. It is Monday, February 3rd, 2020, and I'm very thankful that you've taken some time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Well, spring is definitely in the air. Yesterday here in Florissant, I had a barbecue. Haven't had one of those in many months. It was 68 degrees here in Florissant. Today, 65. Guess what happened on Groundhog Day? You know the groundhog ritual. Well, the groundhog did not see his shadow, which means an early spring. And everyone thinks, well, that's some kind of a myth and fable. Well, guess what? The weather sure reflects that. Well, okay, it's not going to last very long. Back to a little bit of snow. But I am looking forward to spring. Spring is in the air here in Florissant. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I'm going to take us a little further east. We're going to go from Iran today to China. If you follow my page on Facebook, you're aware of a page called Praying for the Persecuted Church. I feature lots of stories of Christians from all around the world through Open Doors. Many of these stories are very important to read. And one of those stories recently I posted to my page was about China. Now, we all know the coronavirus and the deadly pestilence that's happening in the world. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, but I want to talk about some other virus going on in China, and that virus comes in the form of the persecution of Christians. Recently, David Curry, the CEO of Open Doors, traveled to China to do a special report on some of the good aspects of that country, and then he focused in on the deadly surveillance system that is threatening the Christian faith there in China. So, I want you to hear this special report right now on the Cross in the Desert.
China is a beautiful country. We're right here near the Forbidden City, and I can tell you the history and innovation of this place is beyond imagination. There is a rich cultural identity that you can almost feel in the wall, and it ripples through the countryside. You sense it in the streets of Beijing. Modern China is a place of incredible technology, as you can see around me. It is amazing. And the size as well, with 1.4 billion people, is hard to imagine.
From its history, to its culture, to its beauty, China has so much to offer the world. But something else has jumped out at me as I've been here.
I'm being watched. China has the sophistication and technology to monitor its population like no country before it. It feels like these eyes are always accusing. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you saying? And who do you worship?
In China, what's happened over the last 5 years seems unthinkable. Pastors can be arrested if they don't allow surveillance cameras in their sanctuaries. Authorities can shut down churches at any time. The pressure is growing.
If you are a Christian, it's okay. But if you attend your Sunday service in other locations which is not registered or unapproved, then your meeting is illegal.
The increasing religious restriction in recent years, it really tests the church in China. I still remember like 5 years ago, we heard about China government, they started pulling down of crosses from the rooftop of the church buildings.
The persecution here in China is not what it once was 30 years ago. It's not pastors being held in prison for decades or being beaten and dragged out of their churches. It's a very sophisticated and subtle persecution, a squeeze on the freedom of the church in China.
I know a friend. He's a young pastor shepherding a church. And over the past maybe 5 years, this church was growing. And just earlier this year, he told me, if we disagree to register under the government, then my church would be outlawed. The government officials will come today, so please keep praying for us. And then at the end of the day, this friend told me, we have been outlawed.
Despite the pressure, despite the surveillance, God is still doing incredible things.
I know a church in the central part of China. Several years ago, the church will want to move the cross from their church. So they said, we shouldn't fight with the authorities, but we kneel down and pray. God will do his work. And I can tell you, nowadays, the cross is still on top of their church.
And Christians in China are trusting God through the pressure, praying that God will use persecution to purify his people.
The response of people, most of the people, it's really encouragement because you can see what you really believe in God or something else.
Does prayer encourage the Chinese church?
I think so, because the prayer is so crucial and important.
We have a responsibility to help our brothers and sisters know they aren't alone. China may be number 23 on the 2020 World Watch List, but the believers there are part of our church, part of our family.
I'm leaving China with a renewed commitment to the church here. Will you join me in that commitment? Will you see the story of the persecuted church in China and commit to praying and taking action in 2020?
David Curry, CEO of Open Doors, of that special report. Can you imagine living here and having surveillance cameras placed by the government in your church? Everything is monitored. What a daunting, oppressive feeling that would be. Well, as David reported, there is great anticipation in China that God is moving in miraculous ways despite this new surveillance technology, which seems to track your identity and track you everywhere you go. Another aspect of this persecution, according to the Christian Post, is that Chinese Christians are prohibited from holding religious funerals for their deceased loved ones as the Communist Party continues to tighten its grip on the regulation of religious and religion activities. Bitter Winter is a magazine documenting human rights and religious freedom abuses in China, and it reported that authorities throughout the country are enforcing policies that prohibit religious customs and rituals to be used during funerals. Just this past December, the government of Wenzhou City's Pingyang County in the eastern province of Zhejiang adopted the regulations on centralized funeral arrangements. Under the new rules, clerical personnel are not allowed to participate in funerals, and no more than 10 family members of the deceased are allowed to read scriptures or sing hymns in a low voice. The new rules aim to get rid of bad funeral customs and establish a scientific, civilized, and economical way of funerals. Similarly, a village official from the central province of Henan told Bitter Winter magazine that the local government convened a meeting for religious work assistance back in April, informing them that all religious funerals are restricted. Soon after that regulation, officials issued a document stipulating that clerical personnel should be timely stopped from using religion to intervene in citizens' weddings and funerals or other activities in their lives. In Wuhan, which of course is the center of the coronavirus, in Wuhan, police stormed the funeral of a Christian member of a government-regulated three-self church and arrested her daughter, who was praying for her mother at the time. The daughter was only released after the deceased was buried without Christian rituals 2 days later. Last April, officials broke up an 11-person Christian funeral in the province of Henan that was honoring a deceased member of the congregation. Officials accused attendees of, quote, hiding their actions in the countryside and threatened them with jail time. The police registered the personal contact information of the attendees and told them that they could be investigated at any time. When my father died, village officials threatened to arrest us if we didn't conduct a secular funeral. We did not dare go against them. And that's what a villager from Guncheng Town in Henan City told Bitter Winter. My father had been a believer for several decades. He is persecuted even after death. Now, the crackdown on religious funerals are part of the government's campaign to synthesize religion or bring it into unity with communist Chinese culture. In recent years, China has destroyed churches, burned down crosses, restricted religious expression online, and have attempted to rewrite the Bible and hymns so that the message reflects the Communist Party's ideology. This sounds just like what happened with the Christians when Hitler was coming to power in Germany. The same thing was happening. Now, beginning in February, the government plans to implement harsh new measures requiring all religious personnel to support and implement total submission to the Chinese Communist Party. The administrative measures for religious groups, which consists of 6 sections and 41 articles, will control every aspect of religious activity with China and will complete the regulation on religious affairs, which was revised 2 years ago and implemented. This is atrocious, the kind of persecution going on for Christians in China. And one wonders, when you read about this, how God's church is being persecuted. One wonders if there is a connection, possibly, with the coronavirus. Could this be the judgment of God beginning on China for persecution of Christians? I want us to take just a couple of minutes right now and listen to an update on this deadly pestilence, the coronavirus.
Growing health emergency. The new case confirmed in Boston, and word now that the Department of Defense will be providing quarantine facilities if needed. The coronavirus death toll rising. This as there are now more than 12,000 cases confirmed worldwide. The Trump administration declaring a public health emergency. All this expected to have a major effect on businesses worldwide. Apple announcing today it is closing all of its stores and corporate offices in China. And beginning tomorrow, U.S. citizens who have traveled to the affected region in the last 14 days will be subject to mandatory quarantines. Nearly 200 Americans on this flight already quarantined tonight in Riverside, California. ABC's Clayne Sandell is there and leads us off.
Tonight, the latest battle to contain the coronavirus being fought in Massachusetts.
It seems to be an isolated incident, an isolated case. We're going to be making sure I'm monitoring it all day long.
The patient, a student at UMass Boston who traveled to Wuhan, China, arriving at Logan Airport January 29th. He's now at home in isolation. The latest case bringing the confirmed number of people infected with coronavirus in the U.S. to 8 across 5 states. Tonight, New York announcing it is one of 37 states looking into possible, still unconfirmed cases. U.S. officials declaring a public health emergency.
It is likely that we will continue to see more cases in the United States in the coming days and weeks, including some limited person-to-person transmission.
Starting tomorrow, any foreign national who traveled to China in the last 14 days will be banned from setting foot on U.S. soil.
They check everybody's temperature and make sure you're not having fever.
Tonight, the U.S. military says if needed, it is ready to provide quarantine housing for up to 1,000 evacuees at bases in Colorado, California, and Texas. 195 Americans flown out of Wuhan this week will spend at least 2 weeks quarantined on a military base east of Los Angeles, closely watched for symptoms.
Just kind of making the best of it while we're out here and trying to keep a positive attitude.
The ripple effects of the virus now infecting the economy, with markets plunging and companies like Apple, Starbucks, for now closing their doors in China, and United, American, and Delta Airlines canceling all China flights. But despite nearly 260 reported deaths in China, there are no fatalities in the U.S., and health experts say the risk to the general public is low.
And Clayton Sandell joins us now from Riverside, California. And Clayton, you've been in contact with those Americans about what life has been like under quarantine.
That's right, Tom. And this quarantine is the first of its kind in half a century. Now, so far, no one in quarantine is showing any symptoms. But one man we talked to said everyone is trying to keep a positive attitude. And that includes a get together tomorrow to watch the Super Bowl. Tom.
All right. Clayton Sandell for us tonight from Riverside.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel, and don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Well, it's no doubt that this virus we need to take very seriously. There are several strands of this type of virus that just cause flu-like symptoms, maybe like the common cold. But there are those strands that attack the respiratory system, and that's what's causing a lot of the deaths. And a lot of people, depending on their health stability at the time, when they are contacted or infected with this virus, because of their pre-existing health conditions, it makes it more difficult for them to survive it. So yet it is still a deadly virus because it can spread so much. But what has this got to do with the Bible? Is this possibly the judgment of God on Chinese officials in the communist government for the oppression of Christians? Well, I'm going to just read to you a little article from the Philadelphia Church of God, and this has something to do with Bible prophecy. Let's all just take a moment to consider what the ancient book of Revelation has to say about future events. I'm reading right now. If things go on like this, we will all be doomed, said a woman identifying herself as Zuzi in an interview over the weekend with South China Morning Post. Quote, people just keep dying. No one is taking care of the bodies. Tsai Xi's husband is among 4,600 people across China who are confirmed to be infected by a new pneumonia-like illness called the 2019 nCoV or Wuhan coronavirus. The illness is named after the central Chinese city of Wuhan, where it originated, and after the halo or corona-like shape of the microorganism. Experts say Wuhan is milder than other illnesses in the coronavirus family, such as severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, and Middle East respiratory syndromes, MERS, but it is still deadly dangerous. As of Tuesday afternoon, the official number of dead as a result of the virus stood then at 106. Of course, that's increased. And authorities expect the numbers of infected and dead to really literally mushroom. Now, the biblical book of Revelation is about the things which shall be hereafter, or occurrences that would happen after Revelation 1:19. If you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 6, John was inspired to write about the seven seals that would lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. The first four are often called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They represent religious deception, war, famine, and disease. Regarding the fourth horse and its rider, John writes, quote, "I looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him." This is a personification of disease epidemics, sickly, haunting, and yielding. The passage says that along with the other three riders, the anemic-looking horseman that represents disease will, quote, "slay the fourth part of the earth." With today's population of around 7.7 billion, that figure would almost come to something like 2 billion people. And so the question this morning we are considering is the coronavirus now in the world. Is that part of the fulfillment of this Bible prophecy? Well, officials are certainly taking the virus seriously. They fear that infection rates will rise because some 5 million people are believed to have left Wuhan for other parts of China, and the world before the city and its suburbs were placed on lockdown. So this is, again, talking about infection and spreading. This means millions are potentially carrying the deadly virus in all corners of the world. And cases have already been confirmed over the last several days in Australia, Cambodia, Canada, France, Germany, Ivory Coast, Japan, Malaysia, Nepal, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, and Vietnam. Now, in the United States, the fifth case was confirmed on January 26th, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says an additional 50 people in 22 states, they're under observation. The Wuhan coronavirus is spreading, and the Chinese National Health Commission has said its ability to do so is growing stronger with time. One factor complicating efforts to contain the spread is that the virus has shown itself to be transmissible even before the symptoms appear. This means carriers often do not realize they are infected until they've transmitted the disease to others. Scientists at Imperial College London calculate that each individual infected by Wuhan has gone on to spread it to two or three other people. And they calculate the death rate around 1 in 50, which is comparable to the rate of the Spanish flu in the United Kingdom, which was worldwide. The Spanish flu killed as much as 5% of the Earth's total population, a higher percentage than died in World War II. So it's easy to see why much of China has gone into emergency mode. 15 cities, a combined population of 57 million people, have been placed under lockdown. And even as far away as Shanghai, hundreds of miles from Wuhan, businesses are shut down and schools are closed until the illness can be contained. In the U.S., the government is now advising its citizens to reconsider travel to China. Several other countries have suspended tourism from China altogether, and others are evacuating their citizens from the infected areas. Mongolia and Kyrgyzstan have closed their borders with China. The World Health Organization said the worldwide risk from Wuhan is high, and global markets are beginning to falter over fears of a possible pandemic. Well, but much remains unknown, and it is possible that the efforts to contain the virus will keep it from snowballing into this worldwide catastrophe. But Bible prophecy says devastating disease pandemics are on the horizon. The pale horseman of the apocalypse is prophesied to contribute to mind-numbing levels of death. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 also connects the pale green horse to the beasts of the earth. That means disease pandemics are on the horizon. And this can also refer to animal-borne disease that passes on to humans. So Jesus himself said outbreaks of pestilence would occur prior to his return. He says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be pestilences in different places. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, Mark chapter 13, verse 8, Luke chapter 21, verse 11. Now, I'm going to point this out to you. We're not discussing some dusty old prophecies. These are dramatic, dire prophecies that lie directly in front of us. Multitudes, multiple millions of people will perish from sickness and disease. Even old diseases from world wars fought over 75 years ago are making a silent but deadly return. This is what the book of Revelation talks about in chapter 6. And for us that know the Lord Jesus, we have nothing to fear. For those that remain undecided and obstinate and their hearts are hardened, it's everything to fear. The Bible says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And yet the God of the Bible is a God of love and compassion. He is holy, but he is full of love and compassion. And so the answer to this virus is, number one, is we need to pray as Christians for the people of China diligently, not only for Christian persecution, but for this deadly pestilence and disease. We need to pray daily and do what we can to keep ourselves from being infected. I work in a hospital. It is mandatory to wash our hands at all times. So I know what measures I'm taking already. But let us also invite Jesus into our hearts. Those who do not know him, there is a worldwide pandemic, sickness and disease and pestilence on the horizon. Whether the coronavirus is the fulfillment, I don't know. But what I can tell you is the Bible is very accurate in talking about wars and rumors of wars, kingdoms coming up against kingdom, and pestilence, earthquakes, and deadly disease all over the planet. This is God's judgment. But God also, as the just judge of the universe, invites you and me to know him personally. If you have never cried out to Jesus, he is a loving, living Savior that comes into your hearts and cleanses you from all your guilt and shame and makes you into a new person. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Well, today on the cross in the desert, we've learned about the persecution of Christians in China. And we've talked about the possible coronavirus being a direct judgment of God on the Communist Party there for the persecution of Christians. Whether or not that's exactly true, I don't know. But it's the time today to know the Lord Jesus, to cry out to him, to know that he is a Savior, a living Savior that gives us meaning and purpose in our life, that cleanses us from all of our sin, that brings new life and new hope into our soul. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He offers you his forgiveness today. And so I hope you will take him up on his word and embrace him as who he is, Lord God of the universe. Well, we went to China today. And next Thursday, this coming Thursday, we're coming back to Iran. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the broadcast. God bless you and have a great week.